Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're on with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez joining me now on Zoom. 3-time Emmy winner and 8-time SAG winner, my man Alec Baldwin. Welcome to the show, Alec. How you been?
I've been good. I've been out here on Long Island with my kids for the summer, our usual summer. But this year they went to camp. They go to camp right down the street at this camp. And I must say, I don't know what to do with myself for like 6 hours of the day with no, I don't have my kids to chase around my house all day. So
that must be a nice.
We're having a good summer.
Though.
We're having a good summer.
Yeah, a nice little time out for you and Ilaria. Get the kids go, and you got a lot of them. Congratulations, another baby girl on the way. You are you're unbelievable, my friend.
Yeah. I tell people all I have to do now is bend down and put my mouth near my wife's stomach and yell baby, and we have another baby.
Exactly.
Just yell the word baby.
Obviously you believe the more the merrier. How is that dynamic, because they're all so close in age?
You know, when we had two and then three, we thought, okay, you know, that is what it is. But I think you do look back and say, which one would I give back? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like where we ended up, yeah, is the will of God, and we're happy. We're happy the way things are.
That's
awesome. A lot of responsibility, but we know we love kids and we love our kids.
Yeah, no, I love kids too. We're working on four, so we got a way to catch up. A ways
now,
to
how
go.
Old are yours?
11, 8, and 3.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So we're due.
From 8 to 3?
Correct. Correct.
We want somebody's yacht and you added too many glasses of champagne.
Yeah,
what
know.
Happened there?
I know.
8 to 3.
You know, we had a little bad luck there for a little bit, and then it just sort of happened. So yeah, we were trying to go back to back, but you know, sometimes Mother Nature has other plans, and it is what it is. But we got really lucky, and you know, feel blessed. They're all healthy right now. But yeah, we're of the same mindset. We love it's all chaotic, but it's fun chaos. It's the best kind. But we're here to talk about your new podcast. My wife and I had the pleasure of joining you and your wife, which we had a really good time. But this one is Ben Steele American, and I love history. I'm a huge fan of history, but I'm not necessarily familiar with this story. So who was Ben Steele?
Well, originally, I found a book called Tears in the Darkness, and the team, the husband and wife writing team of Michael and Elizabeth Norman, who I believe even now, still today, are historians. They teach history at NYU. They wrote this book about Ben called Tears in the Darkness and the history of the Bataan Death March, the war in the Philippines. And I tried to option that book a while ago to make it into a film. And then Angelina Jolie got that film Unbroken made from that woman, Laura Hillebrand, who had that huge bestseller, Seabiscuit. And they did, that was kind of a Pacific War drama. And Angelina Jolie directed the film, and that kind of shut us down. We didn't make our film. So a while goes by and I re-upped the podcast rights. I found my partner, Jan Thompson, who's a professor at a college in the Midwest. And she had recorded hundreds of hours with men and women that were survivors of the, who are still alive, veterans of World War II and the Pacific. So we took her tapes and she had interviewed Ben for hours. And we made it into a podcast about Ben, who grew up in Montana during the Depression, you know, real hard scrabble life. And like a lot of guys, and we have them on tape talking about how they were dreaming of going to Europe and fighting Hitler, and they were very patriotic. And then they find out when they're once they've enlisted that they're going to the Philippines. They were not going to Europe. And so they go to the Philippines and Pearl Harbor happens. They get captured. The Americans lose the war. MacArthur leaves and abandons Corregidor. And everybody kind of writes off these men. I mean, not, you know, they did it reluctantly, but these men are captured and they're marched up the Bataan Peninsula. They get to a place called Camp O'Donnell, which was a U.S. facility that they shared with their Philippine allies. And the story goes on and on and on about Ben's unbelievable. I mean, you can't believe this guy and these other men survived this treatment. I mean, after he survives Camp O'Donnell, they realize, for example, that to go on a work detail to build roads in the jungle of the Philippines or railroad tracks or whatever, they're going to get better food. So they sign up for the work detail and half those guys die from the conditions, malaria, everything. So then Ben gets put in the hold of what they call the slave ship and shipped to Japan. And they take the U.S. prisoners of war to Japan to work in coal mines and work in farming. I mean, he was in prison for, God, it was over 3 years. I think the day count was like 1,300 days or something. Ben was in prison, a prisoner of the Japanese, for so long, and he lived. And while he was there, he would take charcoal from the fires that they would make, and he started to draw. And men that were architects, army architects and engineers, showed him perspectives on how to draw. And the point is, when he came home from the war finally and went home to Montana, he became one of the foremost landscape artists in his community.
Wow.
And taught art. And he lived to be 90. I think it was 98. I think he died right before his 99th birthday.
Ben had a hell of a life and a full one at that. I love those kind of stories. And you hear those kind of stories, not only are they inspiring, you think, my God, this generation, too, and I'm sounding like the old guy, get off my lawn, but you have like no right to complain when you hear these sort of stories and the things that people go through and that build such character and strength. It really puts things in perspective, right?
We close the show, it's 8 episodes, and we go through episode 8 when finally the American prisoners are freed. And then Ben goes home and the epilogue is him, is Ben at home, and he gets married. He divorces his first wife and gets married again. He's got, I think he's got 3 daughters. And I should have my fact sheet in front of me here for your interview. But the point is that he closes the show and says, you know, he says, nothing could ever bother me again.
Yeah,
because I don't complain about anything.
I bet.
Like what he's been through. Because the circumstances there, the Bataan death march itself in Camp O'Donnell alone, it just was. You can't even believe these guys survived this.
No, that's incredible. That's awesome.
And we're very proud of it. We got a great response from veterans.
Well, congratulations on that. Yeah, and that's the ultimate tip of the hat from other veterans there. And that's not the only podcast you have. There's also Here's the Thing.
My show, my regular interview show.
Yeah. For those not familiar, who have you been talking to lately, Alec?
Well, I mean, we have we lately posted, I can read it to you, I've been doing this show for quite a while. We have 300 episodes in the can. And let me grab my thing here. I can tell you the list of the last several shows we've done right now. We've got a few. The one we posted now was with David Sedaris, the writer David Sedaris.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then we do... we did Jimmy Burrows, who directed all the Will and Grace shows.
Of course, yes.
That show with Jimmy was really, really funny. You know, when you get somebody on there who has a perspective about the business and has had so much success, you know, Jimmy Burrows has a life that is so rich. His father was Abe Burrows, who wrote Guys and Dolls, the musical.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He was a legendary Broadway writer and writer of musicals. And Jimmy tells his story. I mean, you just absolutely can't believe his job. Abe Laboriel, Jr., who's the drummer for McCartney. You know, I see people out there and I go, wow, I bet you their story's interesting. And Laboriel's father was a famous jazz musician.
Huh.
And Laboriel played with Sting and Clapton. And I said, what was it like for you when McCartney called you 20 years ago and said, I want you to come and be my drummer? And he said, it's the greatest gig in the world. I find people who are out there and I go, I bet you people in the audience would love to hear your story.
You know? It's fascinating. I love learning about people. Just the other day, I was interviewing Sigourney Weaver, and I didn't realize her.
Did you really?
Yes, and her father, I just learned, was speaking to her, is the creator of the Today Show. And was the original executive producer. I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah, no, I knew that about her, yeah.
Yeah.
What was his first name again? Pat Weaver?
God, I think so. I can't remember to tell you the truth, but I just remember.
I think it was Pat Weaver. Yeah, he was a big executive. But we have so many people, the range, like you know, Tim Dillon, the comedian, you know, writers, on the Vicky Ward, the journalist who covered the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Ah. I mean, we pick people from a wide constellation of jobs. But there are people on there who are favorites of mine. Like, I really, really wanted to interview Carly Simon. And I'm a raging fan of Carly Simon. I love Carly Simon. And as a person, she's such a bright and elegant woman. And she came on and you couldn't believe how much she knows about music, all kinds of music.
Yeah.
Folk music. And I mean, she was really, that was probably one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
Do you have a strategy in getting insightful answers from your guests, or you just basically start off in a conversation and see where it goes?
Well, I try to think of two things. One is you're talking to people, for example, like Streisand. If you're talking to Streisand, you've talked to somebody who has either been interviewed a million times or has turned down a million interviews because she doesn't want to be bothered.
Probably both.
probably a few decades of both. And you look at them and you think, I always think about what's the billiard break question in my mind? What's the question I ask that opens up all the other questions?
That's a great analogy.
Kind of get in.
I'm going to steal that analogy.
Say again?
I'm going to steal that analogy. What's the billiard break question?
We call it the billiard break. It's what's the question that opens up the whole table? And then the second thing is, don't push. Sometimes in the beginning, when I first started, I was kind of steering them. And what I realized was don't push and they wind up giving it to you on their own.
Exactly.
If they think they're giving you the story, if they think they're giving you the insight or the self-disclosure, Letterman did my show and I was so terrified of him because he's such a clever guy. And we're talking and like 20 minutes into the show, he started to talk about how, you know, the business was making him sick. I mean, just all he did was work. He didn't have a family. He didn't have any kids, you know, in the beginning when he first started. And he really was very, you know, not sappy, but he was really very, very open about how his whole life was just nothing but work. And he turned around one day and said, this isn't working for me. I need to slow down, you know?
That's awesome. You know, and kudos, because there's so many, as you know, so many actors that are just good at that. And you're obviously an accomplished, talented actor, but it's a whole other skill set to be comfortable in your own skin, to talk to other people, to interview and to be able to relate. So that very impressive there. Speaking of acting, you got a movie called 97 Minutes that I believe is in the works. Anything you could tell us about that?
Well, I always think that there are genres of films, especially at my age now, where there are genres of films where you say to yourself, they're due for another cycle. So, for example, storm chaser films. If you said to me, come do a storm chaser film, I might go, I don't know how what I feel about, you know, movies like Twister and things like that. But director was a good guy, really good guy, wrote the script, good crew, good cast. And we went to go do this this film. And I think people are going to be ready for a storm chaser film when this comes out. It's a really good movie. It's really good.
Looking forward to checking that out. And obviously, you're consumed with the kids and the family there. But when you do get a little time off, Alec, how do you like to unwind? What do you do?
Well, unwinding for me now, the only time I have my wife to myself is to go to dinner once we get our kids to bed. So the routine is always pretty much the same, which is to my wife and I feed, bathe, and put our kids to bed every night. And then we're in a restaurant either in New York or out here by like 8:15, 8:30. And it's the only time I have my wife to myself, because when my kids are home, they rip my wife limb from limb.
Right.
They've never, you know. And as you're a father, you realize I'll be in a room with my kids and I'm doing really well. They love me. We're having a great engagement. Everything's great. Everything's perfect until my wife walks in.
Exactly. And boom.
And then I'm invisible. I'm invisible.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm invisible. I'm gone.
I've learned not to take it personal. That's just.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm still working on that.
Still working on it. Well, thank you so much for your time. Always great to see you. God bless and the best of the family. And listen, Ben Steele American is on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check that out. Alec, thanks so much for hanging out today.
You too, buddy. Thank you so much, Mario.
You got it. Hope to see you in person soon.
Okay, buddy. See you in LA, I hope.
Okay, take care.
On with Mario Lopez.